Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Julie Manns, and I am delighted to be here today to present to you some of the ways that we can triumph from our traps. We are famously trappers, and I'm going to talk about that today and anything that we can do to ease the stress of trading. We completely recommend both for ourselves and for all the folks that trade with us. So I'm going to enjoy speaking with you today about how we trap these trades and how that allows for us to get our maximum out of every trade that we make. First, let me tell you a little bit about us. By us, I mean myself and my husband, Adrian Manns. We have been a trading team since 1997. We were graduate students when we started out trading, and it was brand new at the time. There were just tools coming out that people could use to trade intraday, and we started looking at this and saying, well, I don't know, we were trained to do very different things. We both have PhDs in psychology. Mine's in social psychology, which leads to things like groups of behavior, like behavioral finance, how people behave in the markets. And Adrian has an MBA and a PhD in organization behavior, international business. He was already set to go into that world. But what caught our eye is that this was something you could do yourself. So we started trading at that time and going to the conferences that were brand new at that time. And they paired Adrian up with several students, and they were asking him, what are you doing? Now at the time, he was figuring out, what's he doing? What are we doing? So together we started coming up with some ideas about, Adrian came up definitely, I call him the brains of the operation, came up with definitely the types of things he was interested in, read all of what was out there by professional traders, and put together a set of things that made sense for our psychology. And then I fell into the trade management area. And so then we came up with some trade management rules. And it's been history, but it developed very organically. So we have been delighted to know and trade with many, many people over the years, and have very good friends. Almost everyone we work with is a good friend of ours. And we enjoy trading ourselves, and we enjoy trading with others. Over the years, our work has been published in many different magazines and books on the subject of trading. Adrian has been interviewed oftentimes about what it is he's doing. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you today. He's also authored several books, and I've been a ghostwriter on a couple of those, but I will give the credit to him as he writes down his very detailed plans of what he's going to do or what we're going to look at the next day. Or the next week, whichever the time frame is. And they've been published in a couple different languages. And we've been able to travel the world and talk about these the books and, of course, the concepts within the books. I always say there's not a very good plot. It's a very thin plot because it's very technical and people find it very dense and rich. We also have a mastermind boot camp that we have enjoyed doing this last decade. Once or twice a year, we go to Miami Beach. A couple times it's been in a couple other locations. On this picture, you can see these are all different boot camps where we've had different students with all kinds of different psychology, all kinds of different approaches to the market. But all these folks were drawn to this approach. When we do the Mastermind Boot Camp, you know, it's a year-long program, and we really dive into, you know, a little bit about how these people want to trade, how they've been trading, but also about what their goals are, what they want to accomplish, and giving them plenty of time to read the material, do the online material, come to the active live trading boot camps, and really, you know, soak it up. So what we've learned from that experience has been invaluable, and we also have been asked to do and are doing a show on a, hopefully on a network near you this summer. There were some writer strikes and other things that gave us some hiccups, but one piece of that Trader Nation show is going to be doing these deep dives into different people's psychology and how they approach the markets. Along those lines, what people are wondering is, you know, why is this so challenging? Why is this so psychologically challenging? You know, people come from all different places. Those folks in those in the chairs at that boot camp, some of them are professionals, doctors, dentists, lawyers. Some of them are entrepreneurs with various kinds of businesses, from giant waste management to you know, various ranchers and builders. And others are drawn to this because they're going to retire, and they're drawn to it because it's a puzzle. But I think all of them come down to, why is this psychologically challenging? And I come up with three things. Obviously, there are more than three things as to why they're challenging. You know, one of these is it's capitalizing on opportunity, and opportunity is involves, you know, disappointment or regret on the one side. It can be very good on one side, and on the other side, if you're disappointed in what happened, either whether or not you made money, sometimes you're disappointed still because you didn't trade the way you wanted to. And then of course there's the possibility that you didn't make a trade. The trade didn't go the way you expected, and of course you're disappointed or regretful about that. So that it makes it challenging, and how you handle that is also challenging. Also, it's about working smart and not just working hard. I think most of us can relate to parents who worked very hard for money or long hours, and there was always something about showing up. Now, there is something in trading about showing up. There's 100% of that, and you do have to put in the time and the energy and the effort to do this, but it's not all that it is. It's not enough to show up, you know, and sit in your cubicle and process your forms. I joke, but it isn't like that at all. You have to be on your toes. You have to be prepared, and you have to know psychologically where you're headed for the day. What's your idea for the day? And also, it's probably not like anything you've ever done before. So there's a whole lot of content in various areas, from hardware to software to the way the markets work to what market you're going to be in. And all these things you have to take in, and it makes it difficult. One of the things that folks identified pretty early in the way Adrian had approached the markets and the way we now trade the markets is that he's a trapper. So I'm excited to talk about this today, because while I bring this up a lot of times, we've not really focused too much on why this allows us to stay calm and, you know, fairly stress-free while we trade. So as a hunter, obviously, we're talking about folks who are going into the market the day of, and they are looking, whether with scanners or with a list of stocks that they enjoy trading, they're looking for opportunities live. They're looking for an opportunity as it happens, and they're flipping and flipping and flipping charts, and they need to act immediately, you know, act on the fly. And trappers are planning out their trades, typically the night before. Sometimes if you're a swing trader or a longer-term trader, days or you know, weeks before, and you're waiting for the trade to come to you. So it allows you to be a little less stressed when you're waiting. You've done the analysis, you know what you expect this stock to do, and you're waiting for that to come to you. Now, if it doesn't trigger as a trapper, that's great. You kept your money's still in the bank account, you didn't put it out and risk for something that you weren't sure of. If you're a hunter, then you might feel as if you don't have enough trades, you might feel as if you didn't do enough work for that day. You might not. We're not against hunters, but not having the stress of having to find something in the middle of the day has really given us an ease to our trading and a cadence to our trading that I'm going to talk to you about as well. So here's just a little, you know, idea of, are you a hunter or a trapper? Things you can ask yourself, like, you know, do I have a highly detailed plan for every trade? If you say yes, then you're probably a trapper. Do I like to plan out every scenario? That's definitely a trapper there. How long do I like to hold positions? Now, I don't love to hold positions a long time, and I am a trapper, but if you're really, you know, jackrabbiting in and out of things, you're probably a hunter on that score. You may not be. That one could go probably either way. How many times do you have to trade each day to feel like a trader? Now, that's a little bit of what I was talking about, where I know how many trades I have set up, and if they come to me and trigger, then I know I have the opportunity that I was looking for. I don't feel like I have to do any certain number of trades to feel like I've actually put in a day's work. And then, do you find it exciting to open or close a trade? We are, that is a very boring thing for us, opening and closing trades. So these help. Just even putting, you know, it's not a super serious idea, it's just another great idea or a great way of being able to evaluate how you look at the markets. How are you focusing on your trades? How are you framing your trades? How do you approach the markets? And then that allows you to know yourself and to create a good match between yourself and the trades. Or if you're looking for guidance or education, also, is it a good match between you and the person, you know, you'd be working with? And for us, it provides a very low stress, because we know what trades we're looking for, and we don't have to go out looking. And we also know that the markets are cyclical. So as the markets go around the horn, is why Adrian's original book is called Around the Horn, We know that there's going to be areas of support and resistance where the market's going sideways. We know there's going to be a markup, and the markets are moving up. Usually, again, there's another consolidation, a markdown period. And because that seemed as if that is you know, been eternal, or, you know, for as long as they've been taping records of the market, Adrian used that to develop patterns very early on. And over the years, then, we have developed other aspects. So the very first, well, other markets and other strategies. So the first one is on the far right here is the around the horn. That's the very first plan that we have had. And that one is very well documented. I'll show you that in a minute back at least 15 years. We've been trading it ourselves far longer than that. And that's one where there's an entry, a stop, and a target, and it's really an intraday swing. So you get in if it triggers, and you're out by the end of the day, whether it goes to target or stop, or, you know, if it's somewhere in between. And then shortly after that, he also developed this two standard deviation gap. So that's something that happens right when the market opens. And we have a planned way of approaching that, but you have to wait to see what gaps and are they on the correct criteria for the way we like to trade these gaps. And we have a scanner that does that. He also, you know, we ignored the NASDAQ for a very long time. It was a big game. You know, we started when it started, and it was a big game back then, and market makers could be willy-nilly and take the market wherever they wanted. As it's become more electronic and more regular, we've decided that, yeah, you have to harness the power of the NASDAQ. So a long time ago, Adrian started a volatility band trade for some of the biggest, highest, biggest stocks, the large cap stocks. And now you hear all about the Magnificent Seven, but we had them a long time ago, and some other ones that aren't in there. And then also there's one pattern from around the horn, this fastball. We're not going to get into that one today, but that's a sort of a super secret pattern that we trade that we don't necessarily put out there. But just to a few select clients. But anyway, that's sort of like it. Also, an intraday swing for these stocks that are on steroids, if you will. And you wonder, how are we going to do this without stress? It's because we're trapping, right? So this is how we manage our workflow. We have pre-market. We're looking at that XRV trade I just told you and getting that set up, but we're programming it, right? So I've got that set up. And I'm looking at the pre-market to see if it's in our direction and if it's looking good. And you get that set up. And also the other intraday, the original intraday swings, I'll show you those in a minute. Pre-market, we're getting those set up. When the bell rings, not the opening bell, we have the 2SD gaps, and then there's an Apple trade. Okay, so I'm going to show you that too. So the gaps happen. Well, I'm sorry, the Apple trade happens, and then the next one after 5 minutes, the gaps happen. So we program trades, we look at Apple. It has its own little, we have a whole course on it because it does this little trick. And we have chops after that. We call them chops, these gaps, because they look like a baseball play, Adrian. You can look on our website. It's free. You go to traderinsight.com, and you can look at all of the free videos and free education that is down. If you scroll down, there's seminars that he's done and lots of education down there too. Anyway, after the first hour, that's when we go to these Magnificent Seven, these big NASDAQ stocks, and look to see how they settled in and are they going to do this trap that we have for them. I'm going to show you that. Also, Adrian switches over and does the QQQ. He does some ETF and some NQ trades. So if that's something interesting to you, then you know, keep listening, because that's a really interesting. We have a morning room and we have an afternoon room, and you're welcome. If you want to join us and see, look over our shoulder. I'll tell you how you can do that later. But there's an actual, you know, Zoom room where you can come in and see what he's looking at. But he also has a live stream. There's courses that go along with all of that, and I put this up here just to say that it's very well planned out. So it's a trap and it's planned. And again, that gives us a lot of ease when we trade. And to say you have a plan, you're going to need really clear criteria. So a precise event trigger, exactly where you're going to get in, and an exit, profit and loss. So before you even get in a trade, know where you're getting in, know where you're going to get out, profit and loss. And you want to also know that your risk to reward ratio works. Now, that doesn't always mean the profit outweighs the stop, because some of our trades are high probability trades, like this opening gap trade. So that's always, you know, it just means that the risk to reward is in your favor. Also, it sometimes includes sizing your trade. So if there's a very big gap, or a very big spread, in let's say in some of these opening gaps, then you might want to size lower than you would if it's a really tight spread. So we'll talk about that also in a minute. Having a good plan also means you're able to use statistics. And this first one I'm going to show you, the original intraday swing, has really good statistics. And if you join us for a couple weeks, you'll see you have free rein to go in. It's an open house, and you'll see we have great records, and they're all there. So you just have to scroll in and look and see which pattern was it. Was it a short or a long? All the trades are listed, all the old plans, all the, in fact, I'll show you here, all of the archives. So this is the web page. The red button gets you in for the day's plan, but then there's also on the page you can see that there's the results, spreadsheets, and then if you scroll down, the right side of this is if you scroll down. You scroll down, then you can also get to all of the actual plans. So you can go and forward test. How would I do that? Here was the plan I got the night before, the plan for trapping. How would I get to that, what would I have done with it the next day? You can go on your own software and look. And then I just sort of have fun with this, but the keep calm and follow the rules. We have rules for all of the plans. So, and they're very specific rules that allow people, again, to stress less. I mean, it's here's when you're going to enter, here's where you're going to get out, and 50% to target on this one that I'm going to show you is we move the stop to break even, so you're risk-free at that point. This is the table of contents from the Around the Horn book for this original plan, and those are patterns. I just wanted you to see what that looks like. So those patterns there are the ones you're going to see on this plan. Here's the cheat sheet, I call it. Each one of these stocks for the day that we're looking to trade has an entire sheet. You'll see that. But this is my cheat sheet that he said, I used to do this by hand. And at some point, a few years in, he said, do you want me just to have Excel do that? I'm like, yeah, I do. So the top part of this is the Around the Horn. That's the one that we keep all the records of. The stocks to watch were ones that didn't have a precise stop that he could find that made sense with the risk to reward ratio, but we didn't want to throw them out because if you could find a good stop the next day, then you're really in business. Those ones can really move. So here we have the four that were on the Around the Horn portion. The top two and the bottom left, those were supposed to be shorts. This is the day of the trade, not the day before when he planned it. And then the bottom right one was to be a long. So spoiler alert, the top two did not trigger. Right? They did not go short and trigger our short entry. So some people have asked me, well, are you upset about that? Or is that a missed opportunity? And I'm always telling them, well, absolutely not. This is a wonderful way to keep your money safe. And if it doesn't trigger, that's okay. That's just, the name of the game is opportunity. And we were there if the trap came to us. And if it doesn't come to us, we're not forcing anything on those stocks. So let's go over these two on the bottom, one long, one short, that triggered. And this was last month on February. And here's the full sheet that he comes up, he has every night. And this is what you had the morning of before the stock even opened. So as you look over here, you can see that this is the short. The top line, blue line there, is a stop loss. This is ONON. On holding, and there's an entry. Now you can see it very clearly. It opened, it entered. There was plenty of opportunity to get into this trade. It traded, pretty quickly, traded to the 50% mark, and that's our stop loss then moves down to the entry price. So the trade becomes risk-free, and then down to the target. And as often happens, it bounced back up. Sometimes it'll bounce all the way back up to the entry, and you have a second opportunity. Didn't on this one, but we went ahead and booked the profits on that trade. That was a short. Very same day, there was a long on WHD. So this is Cactus Inc. And it opened lower around the stop level, actually, but never triggered you in before that. And then traded nicely up to the entry, up to the 50% to target, and up to the target level. Did it go further up into the pivots? Pivots are another subject that Adrian talks about quite a bit. I'm not going to touch on it here, but I can tell you that is a level we do look at. So it's possible, but we, on these are the program trades, remember. So we go ahead and just go take our profits. Okay, so those are the program trades. So let's look at the workflow again. So that was pre-market. We programmed those up. The only thing I have to fiddle with middle of the day because of the software we use is I move the stop to 50%. So I am keeping an eye on those and managing those ever so ever so stresslessly, ever so without stress. I've got those over on a screen, and I can look over, glance at that easily, and see if they're moving, and if I need to move my stop up. So then we're going to move on to this opening bell apple trade. Okay, so this NASDAQ volatility band setup, the plan, and if you join us, you'll see this plan. It comes out the night before again. He lists three stocks. Right now they happen to be Meta, Microsoft, and Tesla. Oftentimes we have had other things on there before. A couple of years back, Baba was working really well with this plan. Netflix has worked well with this plan. A few others. Nvidia was on here all the time before it got too big for its britches. And the second page, though, is that of that plan is Apple, because Apple deserves its own area. And what he does for Apple on the volatility bands, I'll show you later, he has a direction on those, and I'll show you how we look at those and how we trap those trades. But the Apple is a little different. It has levels where it inflects almost every day. So those, he changes those as it goes, but you can go ahead, take those levels. So here's the levels for the day I'm going to show you, and plot it on your chart so that you have the levels there and you can see where it inflects. And it's almost eerie the way that they go through and do that. So what we're expecting is on the opening bell, oftentimes it will do a bounce. So this is the same day that, you know, both Apple. And what happens here, I just wanted to show you on the first one, so if you can kind of cover the right side with your hand for a second and realize on the left, it's just pre-market. And pre-market, you don't know what's going to happen, but what you do think is that highlighted portion up on the chart where it would bounce, so you would set an entry. Even though you think that, you know, you're not sure which way the day is going to go, it often does this this bounce, this check mark. So you're looking at that area. Now switch down over to the right where I have the blue arrows, and you see on that day, it also went ahead and did the bounce we were expecting, bounced several bands higher, and on that particular day, the bounce was $1 per share, the opportunity on that one. If you want to see Adrian talk about those, this is his live stream. You could go ahead, and I'm going to show you this again later, but midday, Adrian will do a live stream, and you can be alerted to the live stream and watch live for some actionable intel, if you will, both about the cues and then sometimes about these volatility bands and Apple. And so I wanted to put that here just to finish my thought that this NASDAQ volatility, Magnificent Seven, this whole area of our trading is also cued into something that we're doing actively and live during the day, and you might want to see what he's thinking about those things. It's usually 2 or 3 minutes, and he has he talks also about the ETFs and the Qs. All right, let's go back. Okay, so now what have we done so far? We've programmed our intraday swings. We have done our Apple trade. Now we're going to switch over to these two SD gaps. Now he's talked about this a lot. He's published a lot. It has to do with, it's a statistical method. We're looking for two standard deviations out. And once you're 95% you're 95% likely that you're going to revert back to the mean. So whether it's to the downside, these red bubbles are the high volatility that take you further out to 2SD. And then it's reverting back to the mean. We don't think it's going to close necessarily, and we don't care if it does. And we actually have plans, we have targets for how that's going to work. So let me show you a little bit how that works. So we have a scanner. This is from yesterday. Well, this is from March 1st. This is from Friday. And there were two stocks I want to show you on here. You can see there was a whole list of stocks. We, in our trading room, go through those stocks and pick the ones that we think are most likely. Obviously, you don't know what's going to happen, but we do have ways to evaluate those, and obviously courses and folks who are in our trading room, we're telling them live which ones we're looking at. So on this particular day, it was ADSK and Dell that we were going to look at. So let me show you those two. All right, so look on the left. Both of these are the same chart. I just expanded the one on the right I'm going to show you how we manage that trade. So on the left, it opens, it gaps up, and you can see it traded higher and came down and closed at the bottom of its bar. So that's setting up for what we call a trapdoor. It's going to a possibility that it's going to push back down. Now, since I've already told you that we're not looking for it to close that gap, how do we know when we've reached a target? And we're trappers, right? We're planning this. So if you look on the right side, you can see that's a fib expansion ratio. So it's a fib study from the high of that first bar to the low, and then we have it set up as an expansion, and the very first target is that green arrow, which is a, I believe, a 382, or a minus 382 in this version, because we're going short. And then we also have a second target, which is at the 50%, because oftentimes it goes a little more. You can see it bounced back up to that first target. And we don't ever assume or do excursions on things, but for this purpose, for illustration purposes, this kept going down. So what would you do in that case? Well, maybe you set a profit stop at that second target, at that blue arrow. Or, so that I'm saying T1, it's $2.65 per share on Dell. And that second target level was T2 was $3.46 per share. And if you went all the way down and used perhaps a support and resistance where this orange arrow is out to the right, that's closer to $5 or $5.50 per share. Now, when we say per share, we do it this way because as statisticians, we know that there's nothing but lying with statistics. And a lot of people like to play with those numbers a lot. We just think it's very clean to say per share. So at $2.65 per share, if you have 100 shares, that's $265. If you have 1,000 shares, that's $2,060, you know, along those lines. So you get it. So you can multiply that number by however many shares you have, 500 and or whatnot. So that was Dell. That was followed through real nicely. Now this is ADSK, and I can tell you that the spread was fairly wide. On this one, almost a dollar. So this is the case where I was talking about earlier, and it's not an inexpensive stock, right? We're up at 273. I mean, it's not Nvidia levels, but it's also, you know, not $30. So this is a case where we advise folks, if you're feeling like you don't want to put more at risk and you want to be, you know, definitely in control, then lower your share size. So let's say you're normally trading 1,000 shares, maybe you trade 5 or 200 or something. But this one, same thing, trapdoor. So if you look in the left, we're looking to see at the bottom of that first bar. It's closing at the bottom of that bar. So we're looking to see, okay, if it goes below that first bar, that's your entry. And then we go ahead and pull the fib study, and you can see on the right where those two lines are. And then you can also, at the 100%, I have an orange, and I also have a one down at the yellow pivot. So, you know, $2.15 per share, $2.80 per share. If you hung in there, or if you trailed some, or if you did have bigger lots, then maybe what you would do is, I mean, $9 to $14 per share opportunity in that opening gap. So you can see it's well worth our time to go ahead and use our workflow like this. So we have trades that are being automated and just have to glance at to move stops if we need to, but it does have, it's automated for an absolute stop and an absolute target. So even if you happen to walk away, you can definitely, you know, you definitely have it still, it's bracketed in. Opening bell, we've got this Apple trade, then we've got these 2SD chops at 5 minutes, so, and that's only for about a half hour. So anywhere from the 6:30 to 7 o'clock our time, from 9:30 to 10 o'clock market time. Okay, and then after that first hour, after those are done, you know, we're checking in with our automated trades, then we can start to move over and look at the NASDAQ trades. So Adrian recently did a session for a group, and it is also a course, The Magnificent Seven. So he goes through each one of these and gives you a profile. Like I was showing you that Apple has its own profile. Each one of these has their own little quirks, and we've traded them for so long that we know what those are. So that might be interesting for some folks to go ahead and think about taking that course. And you can email me and ask about that, julie@traderinsight.com. But let's look at what this looks like. Okay, so I showed you earlier that this plan comes out the night before, and this plan has three stocks. Typically right now, again, it's Microsoft, Meta, and Tesla. Tesla is usually the outlier. On this particular day, it was Meta. Meta, he expected that to go long, and the other two would move short. Okay, so here they are on the right side pictured, and I put those bands that are represented on the left from the night before. The next morning, I went ahead and put them on those charts. They are those that you can see the pre-market there. Each one of those shows a pre-market because we look at the pre-market just, you know, obviously, to as indication. And I put Apple in there just to make the chart robust. But I didn't put lines on there because we're not talking about Apple right now. So that's where we started. And the other two did not, as you can see, they did not hit the bands. That's what I was going to try and point out. So he expected those two were going to go short. They didn't. They went up. They didn't hit the bands. So again, that's not a loss, right? That's actually fine. For trappers, it's not a problem. That didn't come into my trap, I'm not going to worry with them. Now, later in the day, again, you might want to sign up for this live stream because later in the day, he'll give you some new lines and bands and new support and resistance and new trapping areas. But off the bell, it didn't happen like that. We don't trade these off the bell, but this is a little bit into the day. Meta did something that was very curious. It was the only one I expected to go long. I'm showing you with arrows that I'm just taking these levels and making lines on my chart, you know, horizontal lines. These are what we call the bands. And right after, you can see the big circle on the bottom, all that no volume, that's all pre-market. Where the big green is, you see how Meta took off. Now, we're not trading that. I don't expect that you had it. It's not even something that I would imagine. We know some people that go ahead and use that as an indicator for other things, like the Qs or the ES or the NQ, if you're doing futures. But then Meta came on back down, fell back down to that central pivot, went up to the one pivot, came on back down to the central pivot, and then it did something curious that we really like. It went ahead and it based. So you can see where there's the orange arrow here. It based on that line, and that's what we like to see before we get into any of these a little bit later in the day, is that they've settled down and they actually are finding some support or resistance if it's the other way around. So it did that and then hit the first band entry and just chugged along right up into the top band. And interestingly, you'll see also that it didn't go much further than that. So you can let it go and pull your profit stop to that top band, if you know what I'm saying. And occasionally, maybe it will go further. You're no worse off than if you didn't take your target, but we tend to just take our target because we're setting bracket orders. Again, we're trappers. This is what we expected. And on this one, it was $1.77 per share. So that was great. Go back to the workflow and find that now the next thing we're going to do, and I don't have it here because I'm going to run out of time, is the QQQ and NQ trades. And that's the thing that is the live stream is based on, or if you're joining us in our Zoom room, again, sign up for that and we'll send you an opportunity to sign up to get that 2 week, 10 days, come in, have a look around if you'd like and see what's going on.
In fact, I'd like to show you what that looks like. So why don't we switch over to how we create this plan midday, and let me show you the live stream from Friday that Adrian did so you get a good feel for what this looks like.
Hey guys, we are having a very interesting morning in the triple Qs. No reaction whatsoever to what's going on in Fed speak. Everything is coming in pretty much as expected. The economic number also as expected. Everything's sort of in line and the markets are pushing higher result. Let's take a look at those triple Qs and talk about as a correlate. Seven, here they are. You are looking at the NASDAQ 100 tracking stock. So we've got the QQQ up and you can see open moderately higher and took off, right? So we've got a big move to the upside this morning, all the way up through R2. So we're in that territory now. We're pretty extended, but I think we've got this level right here, our fulcrum. So that seems to be where price is gravitating, that is spot to lower. If we get retracement back down into that range, right? If we get a retracement that comes back down from this higher level and gets us down to this line right here, 443.71, or better yet, back down into 440.10, those would be the two places that I'd be looking to take a long on the triple. I'll be trading that, keep capital free. I don't have a bunch of trades really going on today, so I'll be on either. XRVs didn't trigger. We had around the horn stuff that didn't trigger. We've got a bunch of stuff didn't trigger today because of the move, right? So it moved out of the range right around the opening bell. That prohibits then those triggers from happening. Let's take a look here at our magnificent seven stocks and see what we... So we were talking in the first hour trading pit and war room. The first hour trading pit really is the time of day that we're focused on those opening gaps. War room, when I refer to it with the plan trades and the magnificent, if you're not one, ignore. But we were looking at Amazon, so up here in the upper right corner, NVIDIA, and we've been trading Apple. So Apple has been an intraday play. For the first time in a long time, we're getting enough range on this that it's actually been fairly reliable during the trading. So it came down. It actually counter trend. The market was doing. We had a move to the downside all the way down seconds port. I was telling the guys in the room, you know, that's very, very likely to be a place that inflection. And in fact, that's just what happened. We have been getting inflection to track us back up 178.30 level from 171. Now, if you were on it in the room this morning and you were listening to the logic behind it, then really this threshold here is where we've had stops on all of these trades. So all of the early trades got us in and kept us this guy right here in stop out on Apple for the session. Right now, it's another long move from the threshold level. Lo and behold, I missed that one doing something else. I've camped guys here, the alumni, you're working something. And we didn't catch that distraction. Worthwhile gold and platform to focus for profitable. We've got NVIDIA. So NVIDIA did a really nice, reliable move. Came back down in before. We talked about that threshold in the war room this morning. That moved to 814.74. That one had room all the way up in 24. A little bit narrower on the today than it has been. But, you know, you can't force profits out of the market. It's like I like to say, right? Market does not care how much you would like to. Tesla has been rocking and rolling. So this one, the correlation with what's happening in the markets unwound a little bit early in the session. And we saw sort of a more sideways traction on what's been to the market. Rest of them took off a pivot. Tesla, you know, a wild central pivot. That's not uncommon. Right now, what I'm looking at, if we can get a move in Tesla that gets us back down this pivot line again, I'm going to go and target, you know, these highs right around the confluence of the volume by price action in the chart. That should be scalp. And then on Amazon. So Amazon, we've been watching all day. It's been trading in the box. There's not a ton of range on this one, but if you're looking at the top and the bottom of the order flow right there, you can see that it lines up nice. And the only thing that concerns me on Amazon, big volume threshold. So as price moves higher, and it starts to get into that bump out there. You really have to keep an eye on whether or not to catch the inflection, move lower. I think, my guess is that this volume by price, this part of the cluster analysis is probably going to decrease. That's starting to look less in volume on price. Meta has been kind of dead money to sitting on sideways. You can get in and out of it. This box right here, just so a lot of the price that's going on is oscillating through that history, and that can plot wing prices. And Buddy Bud said this morning, and he trades AMD. He likes the Magnificent Seven, and it's the price that's correlated stocks, very correlated in the broader markets. And if you look at it, see, you can box them up very much the same trades. This on screen number one, I like Bud. AMD, very geometric to rely on. So, you know, I think that is sort of the roundup. Google, you know, if you're looking at this chart down here, I haven't liked this price activity central pivot. There's too much clutter right there, and I'd rather focus on some of this box. Apple, take a break time for Apple right here. And then, other than that, I think we're good to go. So with that said, everybody have a great weekend. If you have any questions about the trading, you can always pick up and call me. Ignore the coughing in the background. There's always some kind of chaos here. But if you're looking for one of these Magnificent Seven setups and you're not quite sure what's happening, come on into the room. Talk to us about what together. Have a great week, everybody, right here.
I think what we can say now is the steps to be a successful trader are really encompassed in being a trapper. So you have to know your playing field and your risks. You have to have some strategies, skills, tactics. Each one of these things I've talked about today has a different set of rules, a different set of tactics, a different expectation for what we want out of the trade, what the trade is capable of. We're not telling the market what we want. We're recognizing the market's going to tell me what it can give, and we're going to trap you if we can. Obviously, discipline. Nothing better than being able to automate trades and for discipline. You know, as long as you don't touch them, we're all sort of guilty of that. But if you can provide or use your software to help with your discipline, you know, priceless. And then, you know, structured trading plan all day, every day. You have to know what you're going to trade as a trapper. I realize that some people can be successful as hunters. Maybe that's something they like. It just wasn't great for our nerves, our stomachs, our brains, and we're trading early out here. I think a lot of the decision to trap is we're trading early out here. And we also have clients that can't sit at the computer all day. So we have trades that are go at specific times, and they can bracket those up and then do whatever their other task is and come back to it. So that's also a great benefit of being a trapper. You don't have to be glued to the computer screen all day. So I really do hope you come and join us. If you do sign up for the live stream, then you can go ahead and we'll send you the offer to come and look over our shoulder. No matter what, we have a PDF with these first hour trading strategies. So that's the other way to go ahead and get this. If you do the live stream, again, you can email me, julie@traderinsight.com and tell me, you know, hey, I want the PDF, or hey, I'm interested in coming to the room. I do encourage you to go to our website. And if you do join us, you'll get a login and password to the site. But that first image down there, you can just scroll down on our page and see a lot of education that's posted there all the time. We are traders ourselves. We trade our own account. We are educators. We are trained as educators. We're trained to be professors. And we enjoy community and have, you know, only know all of the best people. So we're always looking for some of the best people. So come join us, see what we're about, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.